Welcome to our service for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. Our first hymn today has one of my favourite tunes, the great Welsh tune Ebenezer. And the words are wonderful too. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, love of every love the best. And now our time of penitence with the Kyries as we've used them throughout this season of Trinity. Lord Jesus, you came to reconcile us to the Father. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, by your cross many children are brought to glory. Christ, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord Jesus, you search our hearts by your indwelling Spirit. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. And keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first Bible reading is from the book of the prophet Amos. Alas, for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria, the notables of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel resorts. Alas, for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from Timothy, the first letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 6, beginning at the 6th verse. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with these. Those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. And in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honour and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, our hymns took us all round the British Isles in respectful memory of the late Queen. We included the hymn, The Lord's My Shepherd, a favourite of the late Queen Mother, which was sung at Her Majesty's wedding to Prince Philip and was sung once again at her funeral on Monday last. Archbishop John Sentamu, formerly Bishop of York, asked the Queen once what was her favourite hymn. She replied that she didn't have one particular favourite, but that her most moving experience of hymnody was a hymn which her father had sung to her as a child. It's another Scottish hymn. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. In some sense, as I heard the Archbishop talk about it, it brought home to me that although the call of duty was a crucial part of the Queen's Christian discipleship, she was also a disciple on the simpler level that we all are. As you listen to the hymn, you can hear why it would appeal to the heart of a little girl. To one of Ira D. Sankey's memorable tunes, the words, written by a young Scots woman, Elizabeth Clephane, are an imagined version of the parable of the lost sheep, whom the little girl would hear bleating piteously in the third stanza. We hear it today unaccompanied, as Sankey may well have performed it himself. Apparently he often sang in that impromptu way. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far off from the gates of gold. Away on a mountain wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99, are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, this of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Out in the desert he heard its cry, sick and helpless and ready to die, sick and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are those blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for one who had gone astray ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, whence are thy hands so rent and torn? They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. They are pierced tonight by many a thorn. And all through the mountains thundering, and up from the rocky steep, there arose a glad cry to the gate of heaven, rejoice, I have found my sheep. And the angels echoed it round the throne, rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own. Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts be now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Probably only Shakespeare, as a single author, has had as much influence on our language as St. Paul. Today we have a short reading from 1 Timothy, one of the Apostle's less well-known epistles. Yet I count at least three phrases here that just about every English-speaking person might have heard or sometimes used. We brought nothing into the world, says Paul, and we can take nothing out of it. You can't take it with you, we say. More famously still, it's here that Paul tells Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil. I want to focus, though, on a third phrase, partly because I myself didn't know that it's a phrase we owe to St. Paul. Our first hymn in church this morning will be S.B. Monsell's famous Fight the Good Fight with All Thy Might. We can't use it for this online service because Sam and I never recorded it. Monsell is not the most famous of hymn writers, nor indeed the most famous of poets, though he was prolific in both genres. He wrote more than 50 hymns, but the only one you would have heard of is Fight the Good Fight. We've all heard of it. Most of us will have heard a joke or two about how appropriate it is as a wedding hymn. But I wouldn't have known, before I became to prepare this address, that it was to St. Paul that we owe the phrase Fight the Good Fight. Here it is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of the faith. Hymns like Fight the Good Fight fell out of fashion in the 1960s. Similar hymns like Stand Up for Jesus, or Onward Christian Soldiers, in which the Christian life is represented as a kind of warfare, fell into disfavour in those days. The liberal clergy of the 60s era of love and peace, like my first training incumbent, in fact, wore white poppies rather than red on Poppy Day, as a sign of their pacifism. But I think I've probably said to you before that if there are people for whom the Christian life is not a battle, I rather envy them, because it certainly is for me. And it was, of course, a battle for St. Paul himself. In Romans 7 he says, "For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am." I find it hard to believe that there is any truly sincere Christian who has not sometimes felt like that about their own selfishness and sinfulness, that one has to battle, often unavailingly, to overcome it. However, there's nothing violent or aggressive towards other people in the sense in which Paul speaks of fighting the good fight. That is completely clear from the context in which he says it. The very word before it is gentleness. He enjoins Timothy to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight. And so on. This is the moral and spiritual struggle of the soul. Warfare and fighting are just appropriate metaphors for it sometimes. But it's not just a battle against one's own sinfulness one often has to wage, nor even a battle against the sinfulness of others, or the sinfulness of the world in general. The complete phrase here is, fight the good fight of the faith. There are times, and again I believe that every honest Christian person knows them, when one has to struggle to hold on to faith itself. Faith is, as the Apostle again tells us, the assurance of things not seen. So often we long to see the hand of God at work as we pray with all the faith we can muster for so many people and things, as we pray for the Lord to revive his church by his Holy Spirit, or as we pray for the Lord to touch with his healing hand those we love or care about. It can be hard, and certainly often a struggle, to hold on to your faith in those difficult times when your prayers are not answered as you would wish. You all know, of course, that Jane and I have been going through a bit of battle recently ourselves, more against events than anything else. From the little things that people say and do, both of us are very aware of your concern and your support, and we're grateful for it. But I wanted to say just a little this morning about how these things might affect our church's ministry going forward. I must preface this, however, by saying two things. First, as soon as I think about what we've been going through, I'm reminded that in every single church in which I'm called to minister, there are people who have been going through and are going through worse. And secondly, this struggle, this battle, has been much harder for Jane than me. To lose her beloved sister, Dwina, in the way that she did, has been a fundamentally deeper kind of harrowing, even than the sudden loss of my brother, Grant, was to me. But with regard to how all this affects ministry, I went on retreat earlier in the summer and came back quite full of ideas for the autumn, for things we might restart and new things we might try in this post-COVID era when we believe that the needs of our communities, material, emotional and spiritual, will demand the best response that we can make. Then, three things happened at more or less the same time. Jane, and then I, got COVID, and Grant very suddenly died. Pretty much the whole of August was taken up getting past those things. I prepared and officiated at Grant's funeral, and we both recovered from COVID, or at least I have. Jane has not been 100% well since, and it may be that she is experiencing some aspects of what they call long COVID. Returning to the fighting metaphor, I thought at first that Grant's death was a bit like being punched in the stomach, all the wind was taken out of me. But what I'd say now is that I feel a bit like a boxer who's taken a good punch to the chin and is just trying to cling on to the end of the round. Some of the things I hoped we would do this term have indeed been put in train. We've successfully relaunched the community choir. We have dates for harvest services and harvest fellowship events, together with the names of the charities for whom our harvest collections will be made. Meanwhile, the Vicarage Craft and Fellowship Group, led by Jane and others, begins on Wednesday next week and will happen at 2 p.m. on alternate Wednesdays. I have a meeting tomorrow, Monday, to plan a return to my ministry in Newquay School, and the school's harvest will be in Newquay Church. And we're making progress, too, with the concert for Ukraine in Llangrannog Church on 23rd October at 3 p.m. Please make a note in your diaries. But there are two important things which have been casualties of what more I was hoping to do. The first is the series of Bible studies in Acts, which I hope to prepare in August so as to begin to deliver it in September. Losing August has set that back, at least for now. I was hoping, too, that we might be able, within the limitations of our resources of people and space, to make a more organised response to the cost of living crisis in our communities. There are some places, for example, where community buildings will be just opened and heated in the deeper cold of the winter months so that people can come to them and stay warm. There are other ideas too. They haven't gone away, but I've had to put them on hold at present. I hope we can get to them at some point, if I can cling on to the end of the round. On the subject of clinging on, here are some words for the battle from the great Baptist preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Then take courage, and relying in sure confidence upon the faithfulness of your covenant God, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen.
The day thou givest, Lord, is dawning, our hearts are rising with the sun. We praise thee this and every morning, with joy our daily course to run. We thank thee thou church unsleeping, while earth rolls onward into light, through all the world a watch is keeping, and rest not now by day or night. The toil of daytime now is ended, for all our brethren in the east, to thee their morning's hymns ascended, thy praise shall fill their evening's peace.
Now it's time for our prayers. Our intercessions today will be led by Anthea. We begin, as usual, with the Lord's Prayer. En tad ar anoit in the nevaith, sancte dia de enu, dele de dernas, gunele de wachlis, megis in ane vechli ar dde ar hebi. Deroni heddiw en bara benyddiol, a madda i ni ein dyledion, fel y madda i na ein dyledwyr. Ac nac ar wyni y brofedigaeth eithaf gwared ni rhag drwg, Can I say that ti or dernas or gallu ar gogoniant, an oes oes oedd. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. For ever and ever. Amen.
We come now to our prayers of intercession. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, your love is never failing. Your heart is open to us. Your presence never leaves us. Strengthen our faith, deepen our love for you, and keep us in your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord God, you are the Father of all people. We come before you today with our prayers, knowing that you will hear us, help us, and guide us. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We give thanks for the life of the late Queen Elizabeth II. Almighty God, grant that as we give thanks for the life and witness of your servant Elizabeth, our late Queen, so through her example of faith and self-giving, your people may come to know the fullness of your power and glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for King Charles III. Everlasting God, we pray for our new King. Bless his reign and the life of our nation. Help us to work together so that truth and justice, harmony and fairness flourish among us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the government. Dear Lord, we pray for Liz Truss and our new government, and for all those who are in positions of authority with responsibility for decision making at national and local level at this difficult time. We ask that you will give them wisdom, humility, and respect for one another, and a commitment to the common good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the environment. Creator God, we bring before you this world and all its resources. We know that as stewards of the earth, we have fallen short. We are surrounded by images, facts, figures, and predictions of what will happen if we continue on to live the way we have been. Help us, Lord, to heed these warnings, to become good stewards. Lord, we pray that you will show us how to make a difference, however small that may seem to us. Unite all your people with a shared vision to love and care for our environment so that it may be restored to what you intended it to be and remain here for generations to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Dear Father, bless all those who are sick in mind, body, or spirit. In a moment of quiet, we bring to mind all those who are in need of our prayers today. Draw close to them, we pray. Heal both mind and body with your gentle touch. May they know deep in their hearts that you are never closer than in our darkest day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for all those who are grieving the loss of someone dear to them. Embrace in your loving arms all who are grieving the loss of family and loved ones. Be with them in their sorrow. Uphold them with your strength. And through the generosity of love shown by others and your presence within their hearts, may they know that they are not alone in their struggle today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and always. Amen.